honestly, with everything I do, my prayer is always that God will use us, you know, mm-hmm. that God will use me to accomplish his will, whatever it is. So a lot of times I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I just know my intention, right? I know that my intention yes. is for God to get the glory, and that whatever platform I have and whatever moment I have, you know, I just pray that someone will be blessed by this.
Hello and welcome to Life Off Screen. I'm Dan Ruppel. I'm joined by my wife, Peggy. And today we're joined by a wonderful couple. I can't wait for you to get to know them, to hear their heart.
Yes.
Our guests are Kelvin and Edwina Finley Dickerson. Tell us a little.
Edwina is a remarkable actress. You're going to love her heart. Since she started working, she has been steady with her debut, starting with HBO, The Wire. She has been busy in film and television. In film, she's worked with notables such as David Oyelowo, Ava DuVernay. And in television, she's been on shows such as appearances in Veep, Treme, and 7 seasons on Tyler Perry's production of If Loving You Is Wrong. And it's the number one highest rated show for the Oprah Phone Network. But what you're going to love most is how she's navigated this industry fearlessly and with faith.
That's right. And when Peggy says she's busy, she is right. We can't get together with them. They're so busy.
Well, and we nabbed them. They're here. You're not going to want to miss it.
Right. And Kelvin's a wonderful guy, too. He graduated from Howard University. Mm-hmm. Prior to even meeting Edwina, he had a vast, diverse career in New York City, in finance, in real estate investing, PR, advertising. And one of the many things we love about this couple is they take their talents, they take their opportunities to give back to the community that God has put them in. And they have launched a nonprofit called Abundant Life U, mm-hmm. which deals in the underserved communities to help them with financial literacy. So I think you're going to enjoy our conversation. Let's just jump right in. Kelvin and Edwina, welcome.
So good to see you.
Oh, love to see you guys.
Oh, we love you too.
Yeah, definitely.
I am telling you, we were talking, and I think it was about 6 years ago, and it was at a Greenhouse Productions
Christmas dinner.
We were, I think, on the board at that time.
Yeah, that's when we first met you.
And who knew sitting across the table would be this couple we would soon, in short time, absolutely fall in love with.
Oh, thank you. I can't believe that was 6 years ago.
I think it was. I, if I recall right, you guys can correct me. I think you were relatively new married, maybe a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I believe you just moved out to LA around that time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, Kelvin probably had just moved because we've been married 7.5 years now.
Yeah.
So, wow, I just didn't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the great memories is a couple years ago on the National Day of Prayer, Master Media, along with our friends at Hollywood Prayer Network, mm-hmm. we produced the Legacy event at CBS Studios, and we had the two of you on the platform praying over Christians in the entertainment industry for more and more employment opportunities. Mm-hmm. And Edwina, you shared the most wonderful story about your dream of working with Oprah and working with Tyler Perry, and tell a story about how you literally put a foot to your dream and prayed to get into with Tyler Perry.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, you know, the Bible talks about how God will give you the desires of your heart. And some people look at that God will literally place into you his desires and make them your desires. And others look at that as their desires that originate with me that he will then manifest. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I feel like there's this incredible combination of the two. But what was happening for me was that I kept receiving prophetic words from strangers saying that one day I was going to work with Oprah Winfrey. And then also one day I'm going to work with Tyler Perry. I'm like, okay. So I'd received all these words. And then finally, Kelvin and I were in Georgia where, you know, it's the home of Tyler Perry Studios. Yeah. I said, before we go to the airport, I want you to drive me to Tyler Perry Studios. He's like, Edwina, we're going to miss our plane. I'm like, trust me, I have to go there. So we drive up there. And I asked the guard, is there any way I can come inside? Can I go on a tour, you know, a quick tour? He's like, ma'am, no, absolutely not. This is not open to the public. Yeah, I have no idea who you are. And then he hands me a postcard. He's like, okay, thank you. Bye-bye. And so, you know, of course, I'm crestfallen. And I get back in the car with Kelvin. We're driving away. And then I just tell him, stop the car. And hop out the car. I run back to the gate. And I just put my foot underneath the gate. And I just prayed over the property and I said a scripture. I said, wheresoever the sole of your foot shall tread, God will give unto you. And then I raced back in the car before the guard could call the police. And we drove on to the airport. And sure enough, you know, years later, I was driving back up onto that same lot again, but this time as a star on a show from Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey.
Amazing. And I'm going to tell you that a couple years ago, Dan and I were in Atlanta. We drive into the Tyler Perry studios, and there on that jumbotron was your face advertising that. And literally, it took Dan and our breath away. We stopped.
We were almost in tears.
Oh, because you knew the testimony already.
Yes. We took a picture of it. I think we texted it to you.
I think we texted it to you, Edwina.
Just a testimony of it, to see it before our eyes. You know, you've had some of these remarkable, marvelous intersections with people, even early on in their career. Ava DuVernay, David Oyelowo. When I think about the film,
Middle of Nowhere.
And we got to host in 2012, both of them back at our place at Wind Rider Forum at Sundance with my colleagues years before.
He prepares good works for us
and
to
I
walk
was at
in.
At Sundance, we were all there together, actually. So I've missed meeting you.
We would have known you years earlier.
And just to chime in, before Edwina and I were married, believe it or not, I was a little bit of her coach. And we used to do these purpose sessions. Where I remember this was in Brooklyn, New York. We would go to the park and I would help her just to kind of crystallize her purpose. But one of the things that really kind of came out of that, and who knew, I guess I should have known, if you're helping a woman crystallize her purpose, that's probably your wife, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know.
Neither of us knew at the time, we were just friends from church.
Yeah. But, one of the things that really kind of came out of that was with Edwina's purpose, it really is to be in Hollywood. And Hollywood and all these different mediums are platforms, right?
Yes.
To be a light, to be a bright light, to encourage, to give people hope and all of that. So it's just amazing. I kind of have a front row seat to see that really happening now with Tyler Perry, with OWN, just all these things from hosting to acting. But it's all, I think, it's all coming just straight out of her purpose and who God called her to be.
I saw you not too long on Oprah's OWN channel, which is not small in scope, but the devotional you gave, you posed that question, how has faith sustained you in this time of trouble during COVID? COVID was just going on at that time. And that then you bring your Bible, you lift it up, you share a verse of hope, and then you go to this video of teaching you girls, and here you are doing praise dances with your itty bitty ones. And I'm just telling you, it was so encouraging that it was a faith over fear message. And I just want you to know, I read the comments, and did you have any idea the impact you were going to have with those few moments?
No, I mean, honestly, with everything I do, my prayer is always that God will use us, you know, mm-hmm. that God will use me to accomplish his will, whatever it is. So a lot of times I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I just know my intention, right? I know that my intention yes. is for God to get the glory, and that whatever platform I have and whatever moment I have, you know, I just pray that someone will be blessed by this. Yes. And so I'm so glad. Thank you for sharing that with me.
And it's the same with you, Kelvin. I mean, you mentioned Brooklyn. You had this vast career as an executive in marketing and PR and mm-hmm. advertising and financial real estate investing. And one of the things of the many long lists that we love about both of you is you're all in for the kingdom. Yeah. Whatever abilities, platforms, opportunities the Lord gives you, use those for God's glory. Yeah. And we admire you so much for that. And you, Kelvin, with this great knowledge and insight into finances, you have used that to give back to your community. You've used that with your Abundant Life U and Financial Fridays.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I really think it comes back it goes back to personal experience. When I was a young believer, and that just goes to show that God uses everything. When I was a very young believer, believe it or not, I went through a financial storm, right? Where, and I'll be the first to say, I did something really stupid in business, and I got in over my head, but I was on the brink of bankruptcy. 2 months late on mortgage on 9 houses, creditors were coming after me, et cetera. But the Lord really helped to kind of get me out of that situation. Without filing bankruptcy, it took some years, but he did it. But I really feel like, Dan and Peggy, the Lord was like, you know what it's like, right? You know what it's like to be burdened by finances, to be weighed down. And now praise God, Edwina and I are in a good place. We really want to, I really want to help people to lift that burden, to get out of debt, to build wealth, to invest, right? To live out their dreams. But so many people are just in financial bondage. The world is challenged. Our nation is challenged. But I believe as a Christian, that's where we should look for the opportunity. Because if we look at the Bible, that's usually what I see. That's when God moves, right? Mm-hmm. That's when God says, okay, I get a chance to show my glory. I get a chance to use my people. So in my private time or in our private time, that's where Edwina and I are dialed in, like, Lord, use us, right? So, you know, we could talk about
God, and God has, because I can recall just even the last time that the Hollywood entertainment communities got together, it was at your home.
Yeah.
We're having lunch. That's the last time we saw you. Right. And we just had such a wonderful time. And little did we know that in just a few short months, the world was going to change.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly COVID brought social isolation, mm-hmm. where we were isolated from one another. Then we had the horrific killing of George Floyd, which the lingering issue that's over this country of racism suddenly is brought to the forefront of the nation.
The lingering trauma.
Yeah, of it. And as a Black couple, as members of the Christian community and the members of the entertainment community, right. What are your hopes, thoughts, and prayers as we move ahead?
Well, I think before we address that, Edwina and I were talking about that today. In April, one morning, the Lord got me up, and he was like, and I was jogging. I went on a long run, and the Lord pretty much said, hey, Kelvin, you and Edwina know a lot of people. A lot of people are down right now. I want you to do 21 days of happy. Mm-hmm. I want you to interview celebrities, influencers, pastors on different topics, and for 21 days, like, do Zoom interviews, because people need to be encouraged. People are down right now. And we were obedient. It was tough, and we could definitely get into that. But we did it. We put it up. Our home turned into a production studio during the
pandemic.
But during the pandemic. But I think 21 days of 21 Days of Happy ended on May 31st, and like a week later, the whole George Floyd thing kicked off, right? So, you know, that was just...
Well, he was killed that week.
Yeah, he was killed that week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel as though, hey, like the Lord knew, right? The Lord knew. And that's one of the many things that are happening. But I feel like he used us in 21 Days of Happy. And definitely check it out on YouTube. Abundant Life U has a channel on YouTube. And it's 21 Days. There's some great interviews and all that. But I feel like the Lord used that really to just help to encourage people. I'm encouraged because I do think there's a reckoning happening, right? Yes. It feels like a multicultural movement. We see it not just in America, but in London and in Berlin, right? Where people are just standing up and just standing up for injustices, right? So I think I speak for Edwina and I, like, we're encouraged that change is coming, right? Change is here, right? And I believe God is all for justice, right? Peaceful justice. Yeah. So we're excited and we're involved.
For me, my change is this lens of looking at the fact that I have this privilege afforded to me that some simply do not have. And this undercurrents of fear that African-American mothers go through with their children, sending them out for the day, I have been wrecked by. There's an ache in my gut that no human should live like that. And this, at no point should that be just, this is the way it is. And I hear this being felt in our bones, and that is hopeful.
Yes.
Because there needs to be humility, repentance, turning, and prayer and healing to come. I believe those are the steps for the church to step into and lead.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you that as you were speaking, you know, something, an incident came back to me when I was 16 years old, and I was with my friends from church. We decided we were going to go to the mall. And as we were leaving, the police drove up on us and forced us and the young men that we were with to get down on the ground. And I was crying out and I was saying, why are you doing this? We haven't done anything wrong. They haven't done anything wrong. And their only response was, well, we got a call of people that fit your description. And I was so livid, you know, because I felt like if something is unjust, you're supposed to speak up about it. And my friends were pleading with me to shut my mouth, to be quiet, because they understood this is a matter of life and death. We may not survive this. So you being quiet is paramount to our survival tonight. And I feel like, unfortunately, for years, many of us have internalized that we need to be quiet, that we need to shut our mouths in order to survive. And one thing that I appreciate now is that the groundswell is so huge that people that have been silent for so long are being compelled to speak, that people are coming out of the closet and saying, no, this is not right. I feel like, unfortunately, you know, because I think it's good, we're having to have some very difficult conversations now.
Needed. Mm-hmm. Yes. Needed.
It's so needed, right? Yes. Because for a long time, for me, I just didn't want to handle, you know, confrontation. I just kept, you know, sweeping things under the rug and, oh, they don't mean it. And, you know, I'm sure that's not really their heart, you know, but there were points where I just had to say, you know, can I talk to you? Can we have a candid conversation? And I want to do this in love. I hope you know that I love you. And I believe that you love me. And that is what has, you know, continued this relationship. But I have to share with you that there are things that you've said or done or perspectives that you've spewed that you don't realize how hurtful they are.
Yes.
You know, and so I just feel like our love as the church right now is being tested, right? Like, can we continue to maintain relationship with one another as a body of Christ while also being willing to confront ourselves, to confront one another, and to allow God to heal these places, right? Where perhaps they've been broken. And so my hope is that the church will do the hard work. Right, we'll do the hard work of breaking up the fallow ground and taking up these weeds that have grown together so that we can have a full harvest that looks and feels like all of us and looks and feels like Christ.
Amen.
You look at the pillars of God's kingdom. It's about inherent, innate value in every image bearer of God. Every single created being, which is everybody, that God created. He created them in his likeness. We see how much Jesus talks about justice mm-hmm. and mercy, and we're called to that.
There's a great book, and we got a chance to interview the author, but it's called The Art of Neighboring. I need to be his publisher or something, because I'm always trying to book up. But it's all about us stepping outside of our bubble, right, to really get to know our neighbor, right? And from a practical sense, hey, I'll confess, I can't tell you my neighbors in my neighborhood, but I think that's part of the larger issue here. We don't know and that's the second commandment, I believe, right? You know, love thy neighbor. We don't even know our neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody in our circles look and believe and viewpoints are the same as ours. And to me, that's not kingdom. And we have work to do.
We have work to do. Yeah. And Jesus is our example, who was always drawn to the marginalized, always moved with empathy and compassion, and those who are on the disenfranchised. And so this is our call to be focused on this issue. It is, I love that God has, just as he has always done in the scriptures, pointed that way. Whether it be the Samaritan in a moment, or this woman, or that person, but this is this time, and it's a God time. So, switching gears a smidge, you continually demonstrate, I love serving others. And for you, Edwina, sometimes that is through multiple things about who you are. Sometimes you get to glam it up and you do it so well. How fun is that, especially for your little girls to see you? And but off screen, I know that you are so very down to earth. You speak about authenticity over image. What does that mean to you?
Basically, what I felt in my spirit, like God was saying to me first, right? And then I shared it on social media. But I felt like it was about moving beyond this carefully crafted image, whether it's a personal self-image, whether it's an image as far as relationships, whether it's an image as far as the church, whether it's an image as far as race relations, you know, that we need to be honest with God, with ourselves, and with one another. And so that download, honestly, from the Lord is what gave me the courage to begin having some very authentic, you know, very vulnerable conversations with people, and even on social media, just to be able to share, you know, what's really happening, you know, what's really going on, and going beyond the surface. And also for me, myself, to have the courage to not think about, well, what is someone going to say if I say this? What is somebody going to think if I share that, right? And actually being able to break out of that box and say, well, what is God authentically doing? What is God authentically saying? And how can you be a bearer of truth in that way?
And I think it's okay to, I think God is pushing that okay. Like, you know, in all your weakness, like my power is made perfect. So let's kind of like push away the crafted, you know, brands and images and be more transparent, right? Show your brokenness, because in our brokenness, we can connect with each other as humans.
Yeah. And saying this is where we're at, there's the power. Yeah. Because I think Christine Kane said, she likened the dark room experience, like when you do photography, how those difficult places, you losing all those finances or whatever those moments are. Yes. In the dark room, that's where the image of God is forged. And that image will sustain your calling. And if you don't embrace those weak moments, those things you're learning in the hard places, as being the most valuable, the most transparent, the most real, because really, that's what a thirsty world is hungry for more than all the slick.
They want the real.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I mean, like, you know, Edwina and I do a fair share of content out there. You know, Edwina's posting. We do Financial Fridays. on Instagram and things of that nature. But during this pandemic, God has really been up in our household, you know? Like, he's working on me. He's working on me. And yeah. saying, okay, Kelvin, look, you know, I want you to work on some areas as far as fatherhood. Or he's working on our marriage. Okay, Edwina, you know, hey, and Kelvin, I want you to work on some areas, you know, as far as your marriage, right, that are muddy and murky, or tightening up our finances, things of that nature. All those things, they don't look pretty, right?
Yeah.
They don't look pretty. But I really believe that's the God we serve, right? And that's what God is about, dealing with our murkiness, dealing with the muddiness, right? So that we will grow.
Right, that will be transformed more into him, his image. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, both culturally and individually, it's through those murky waters, it's through the difficult times that God does his greatest work of transformation.
Right.
And Kelvin, on this past Father's Day, you sent me a text of Happy Father's Day, which was so kind of you. But that is another thing that we love and admire about both of you. You're so dedicated as a married couple, mm-hmm. but also to your two beautiful girls. And I want to ask you, when you're now, your girls are still little. In fact, we were having dinner with you when Edwina was. We were dazed.
You were like days, minutes.
I kept wondering, you know, you guys ordered dessert, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know. There's time for dessert, you know. But as your girls get older and start to enter adulthood, what lessons from the mistakes you've made or things that you've seen, what kind of advice do you think you would be offering them?
The first is to know God, right? That's important. That's like the most important thing, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to train up our children to really know the Lord. Because I think the quicker, I got saved in my 30s. I wish I got saved when I was 5, right? It's just a better life. So to know God, know your purpose, things of that nature. Second thing is, we're kind of big international people and globalization. So as a matter of fact, my youngest, her name is London. We named her after the city. But we really want to show them the world. And we believe that their calling is throughout the world and to navigate throughout the world. And God is in all aspects of the world.
Listen, our 3-year-old is teaching us Russian right now.
She knows Russian, Spanish.
She's learning Russian, Spanish,
exactly,
French.
Right.
What else? Oh, like two other languages and sign language.
Right, so.
Oh my!
She's teaching me. She's the teacher. Yeah. You know, I'm the student.
I think for me also, in addition to all the things Kelvin said, you know, our 3-year-old is already manifesting a lot of artistic gifts, which is so beautiful. Yeah. Like
wonderful.
She's singing all the time. She's dancing all the time. Now she's talking. You know. She's talking to her audience right now, the imaginary audience. Hi, everybody. Hello. Now we're going to sing this, and now we're going to dance. And she's directing imaginary choirs, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I think a part of what I really want for her and for London, too, is just to shine, you know, to be fearless, to cultivate every gift that they want to cultivate, every gift, you know, we just try to pay attention as parents.
Yeah.
And I appreciate my mom because she did that for me. You know, I think a lot of times parents can be tempted to get their children to shut up and sit down and stop making so much noise and, you know, trying to control the child. And of course you want to discipline children. Of course they need to know what's appropriate when. But sometimes parents can miss that there's this huge, you know, tapestry of gifts that they're expressing, whether it's that they're funny or telling jokes or, you know, or artistically or whatever. Or, you know, I know when I was growing up, they would say, oh, you're so bought, like the teacher or whoever. People would say I was bossy, right? And it's like, you know, but it's like, it's so important to realize, okay, maybe it's not just being bossy. Maybe it's that this child is going to be a leader.
I love that.
Just being able to reframe certain things so that you can actually see their gifts. And I think that's just so important. So, you know, with both of our children, we try to look very closely at what are they manifesting, even if maybe it's not appropriate in this moment, you know, or maybe you're talking back, but it's like, wow, you're so assertive, or wow, you know, you're fighting for justice, right? Like, this isn't right, mommy. I want to, whatever, you know, but just really trying to pay close attention to our kids. And I love seeing all their gifts coming out. I just love it. And I just want to keep on encouraging it. Like, the sky is the limit.
I can remember with our own, just having that lens is so liberating, because you begin to hear the voice of God and to be able to call it out of them, to bless it, to encourage it. And wow, do they rise to that, that you saw that in me, even in the midst of all this. Mm-hmm. Is that not the good news? God demonstrated his love, and that while we're yet sinners, you know, Christ saw our value and purpose. So that is beautiful. On that note, I know that your first season on your show at Tyler Perry's, If Loving You Is Wrong, your sweet mom was going through cancer at that time. And I know it was your heart's desire for her to come to the set, and she didn't make it. And you mentioned in a recent, you had to host a Zoom thing with all your cast members where you hosted it. Congrats on that. You did a beautiful job. But I loved how you exhorted your sister cast and thanking them for supporting you in that moment, and that it went all the way up to Tyler Perry. And that's not a normal thing in Hollywood. Not everybody gets that. Mm-hmm. So as Christians in the entertainment industry, can I ask how you navigate really being intentional about prayerful support from the community of faith around you?
Well, that's such a great question. And also, thank you for those compliments. I appreciate it. You know, I really feel it's about us staying connected, right? Like, throughout the Bible, there's so much emphasis on community. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that Hollywood can be very isolating. Yes. And I think from the outside looking in, it has this appearance of, you know, everybody's on red carpets and everybody's always at parties and everybody's always networking with one another, you know, and schmoozing and, you know, and that's true. But unfortunately, there's also a truth that many people in Hollywood feel alone. And so I have felt like an important role or position that I play as a believer here in Hollywood is to forge connections, right? To check up. I mean, my cast will tell you, I will text them, how are you doing? I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Do you want to get together? You know, just to be able to let people know, hey, you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have to do life together. None of us has to do life together, as well as honoring and appreciating when people do show you that type of love and support, you know, because it doesn't come every day. Mm-hmm. And I thank you too as well for how you've loved on us and how you've just grafted us into a part of your family. You know, we've just felt so loved by both of you, and want to say thank you to you as well.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up loneliness and isolation, especially during the pandemic. Especially with so many people being on lockdown, and I've seen all these articles on isolation, but it is sometimes being in Hollywood, and that's the truth. I mean, loneliness is real, right?
Just listen, I mean, in LA or in Hollywood, like the culture, especially if you're working, I could be gone for months, and then when I want to connect with you, you're on a plane, you're gone, you're coming back and then we're gone again. Right. And so you could be trying to get together for coffee for 3 years with someone.
That's right.
You know, just because there's so much movement and then family and there's so many things. And one thing that you start to realize, right, it's a transient place. Mm-hmm. And one thing you start to realize, too, is that if I'm feeling this way, other people are feeling
this.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
So
yes.
If we can get in touch with how we're feeling and we realize other people must also feel this way, what can we do to help facilitate change in all of our lives?
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. We hear you. We have felt exactly what you're talking about. We have and said, then the Lord has kind of turned it around and said, well, listen, then you pursue and you ask. And if they can't, they can't. But, you know, but that, well, but in even the ask, you have placed value on them.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and so it's true.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been so gracious with your time. We love you so much. We admire you because you mentioned earlier, Edwina, that you want your girls to shine. And the two of you, your lives and your hearts shine the light and the love of Christ's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And you are bringing remarkable things to a real hurting world right now. Yeah. So we love you dearly, and we just continue to pray blessings over both of you.
Yeah. And I was going to say, just for your audience, I mean, hey, check us out, like our organization, Abundant Life U. We do a lot of work around financial wellness, mental health wellness for underserved communities. Edwina Finley, she's on Instagram. Edwina does a lot of inspirational content. And Kelvin Dickerson at Kelvin Dickerson. I do a lot of financial coaching, helping people invest, get out of debt, build wealth. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just trying to, you know, serve and build God's kingdom. So thank you guys. And yeah,
thank
we love
you.
Thank
you for having us.
We
thank
love you.
Can't wait to see you.
Thank you for joining us for Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. Our technical director is Jason Rugg. Please subscribe to the Life Off Screen YouTube channel or subscribe to the Life Off Screen podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments in the comment section. And to find out more about Master Media, go to mastermedia.com. Thanks again for joining us. Hope to see you next time.